Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, as we continue with the series we've been taking, preparing to meet the Lord. Preparing to meet the Lord. Let's continue, but I want to pick a thought from Galatians chapter 3 and 2 verses there, 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, my emphasis, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I read verse 14 again. That the reason he went to the cross and hung and picked, took upon himself that curse. This is the reason that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. For what? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. The purpose of the entire message is to redirect our lost bearing. That is the purpose of the message. And that's the purpose of this ministry. And that purpose is not fulfilled until your spiritual direction is redirected back to the ancient landmarks. That's all we try to do. The devil through his ministers. That's why when we were praying that prayer point, I want to know you more. I said, I want to know you more because I don't want to serve another Jesus. I don't want to hear another gospel. And I don't want to have another spirit. You see, it is another gospel that has redirected our focus as Christians. Church, the focus of every average Christian, as far as knowing Jesus is concerned, they know him as only a solution solver, a problem solver, a solution giver. If you have any problem, go to church. If you have any problem, go to church. If you don't want the enemy to kill you, go to church. If you don't, you know, just protection and then prosperity. And then prosperity. Listen. The blessings of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham? What is the blessing of Abraham? The average Christian will tell you Abraham was the wealthiest at his time. And that's the truth. He was the wealthiest. He had so much until one family, one man was enough with his household. More than 300 men to go and fight another nation and deliver his relations. He has so much wealth. But that is not the promise. There is a promise that God gave Abraham. And that promise is the blessing that God gave him. That, what is it? The blessing that in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hey. Think, please try to listen to me. It will help you. In thy seed. And Apostle Paul told us that that seed was who? Hallelujah. If you go down to verse 16. He said, now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. Christ is that seed. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the afternoon. And I'm blessed in the night. I am blessed in Lagos. I told you that salvation, redemption, we have been misdirected. And that spirit is so subtle. Until when you are missing the mark, you will not know. So what did that gospel do? What that gospel did is to take our hearts away from the process of salvation and place it on material acquisitions. Instead of our hearts to be on things eternal, our hearts are placed on things that will decay. Instead of our hearts to be filled with heavenly things, our hearts are filled with earthly things. And it is nothing but a plan of the devil. Apostle Paul said we are not unaware of the device of the devil. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. The place William Branham preached a message entitled "The Greatest Battle Ever Fought." And he said that greatest battle that I ever fought on earth is fought in the mind. Apostle Paul brought it down in Romans chapter 7. The battle that takes place in the mind. You want to do good. You know you should do good, but evil is there. Drags you another side. And he ended up by saying how wretched we are. But that wretchedness was settled through the cross on Calvary. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when Satan, listen, amen. When Satan comes to attack your finance, amen. Do you think it is the finance he's attacking? Does Satan spend money? Does he spend money? When he comes to disturb your marriage, will he marry your husband, marry your wife? Does he marry? Hallelujah. When you see Satan cause problem and you have accident and the car is damaged. The car that you just bought brand new. Do you think he's interested in the car? That's why he scattered it? No. Satan is not interested in your car. Satan is not interested in your house that burnt down. Satan is not interested in your business. He's not interested in your business. Don't think he wants to take over your business. That's why he ran it down. What he is interested in is your heart. It is your heart he wants to attack. Because you know that is where your heart is. Your heart is in your business. Your heart is in your money. Your heart is in your marriage. That is all your heart is. If I can destabilize his heart. If I can destabilize his heart. Then his heart will be too destabilized to think of God. His mind will be. So that is why if he can get you to be chasing after money. So you don't want to be poor. So you don't want to be poor. I know what I suffer. I know what I suffer. I know what my papa suffer. I know what my mama suffer. I had a suffer. Ah, that's why I don't go to school. Now where I don't get small money. And then all your heart is there. If he can succeed and get that, he has finished his assignment on you. And he has preachers that are promoting it. That want you to believe that you are right with God when everything around you, you are prospering financially, you are prospering in your marriage, you are prospering in your business, you are prospering in everything, in your profession, you are prospering, and then they are quick to teach you about hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work. And all that, if you go to church, what they are doing, instead of when we come to church, we have to face our spiritual well-being. Instead, they take more time, if not all the time, telling you how to acquire these material things with biblical scriptures. How you can own a car just so. And they will tell you this ministry is the ministry of prosperity. A young woman told me years back, boasting about their church. He said, if you want to prosper, come to our church. Our church is a church of prosperity. And another bishop in Nigeria said God gave him a mandate for prosperity. And so he has combed everything the Bible speaks about prosperity and prosperity until, if you are in that type of church and you are not prospering, it means you are not a Christian. And you'll be sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. And so, when we come to church, hallelujah, what are you doing? You are busy protecting these areas of focus. Hallelujah. You come to church and all the prayer points you hear is any man that say, I will not prosper. What are you waiting for? You come to church from morning till night. Fire, fire, Holy Ghost fire. You go to the mountain, dry fasting. What are you fasting for? My fiance wants to leave me. What are you fasting for? Power must change hands. And so everything you do in your spiritual life is to protect these material things. It's to protect, you go to church to protect your business. All your prayer points in the midnight, it is to protect your environment, your possession that you possess here. Holy Ghost of fire, Holy Ghost of fire, Holy Ghost of fire, from morning to night, Holy Ghost of fire. You go home tired. What happened? I'm down from the mountain. No one single prayer point did you have concerning your spiritual well-being. It's an error, brother. It's an error. That is the product of another gospel. But what does the Bible say? What is it that we are supposed to protect? What is it that we are supposed to protect? Can we open Proverbs chapter 4? One verse, 23. Everybody, can we read it? Everybody. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Read it very loud to the hearing of your neighbor. Shall we go? Say it again. Keep thy heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Diligence. Hallelujah. For out of your heart come the issues of life. The issues of life come from your heart. The issues of life. Jesus Christ put it this way. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. The things he possesses. That's not what your life consists of. You see? Our hearts, you are not to guide, listen, you are not to guide your car. You are not to guide your business. You are not to guide your marriage. You are not to guard anything else on this earth. The only thing you must guard with all diligence is your heart. Because if the devil can get your heart, you are finished. And if God too can get your heart, you are settled. These are the two places, these two spirits, the spirit of God and Satan, the devil, they are interested in. God and Satan, they are interested in your heart. For out of the abundance, Matthew 12, Jesus Christ says so, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart. If there is nothing in the heart, the mouth will have nothing to say. And if you have something, if it is good, it is good thing that will come out of your mouth. If it is bad and evil things that are in your heart, it can't help it. It is what you have, you give. The mouth can say nothing but what the heart gives it. Amen. Guide your heart. He said, with all diligence. With all diligence. For out of the heart, out of it, come the issues of life. Praise the Lord. And therefore, in this consecration period, if you are going to come out successful, if you are going to achieve anything, the first testimony you will have to continue with your Christian life better than you were before this period started, your attention should be in your heart. Focus it in your heart. Focus your attention this period on your heart. The fast is going to be effective. Then take a look at your heart, your mind, all your thinking. Hallelujah. Somebody told me, I'm a Christian pastor, but I'm battling with something. I still find lust in my mind, in my thoughts. Lust. Listen, there is no scripture that says because you have the Holy Ghost that those thoughts will not come. The thoughts will continue to come. Evil thoughts will continue to come. You talk about arrow. One which fire me arrow. You have forgotten that there is also arrow of thought. They can fire you with thought. Fire you with thought. Fire you with thought. And that is the most deadly weapon. Because when your heart is gotten, then it's just a matter of time, the actions will take place. Every sin you commit starts first with a thought. So the thought will come. Now the battle starts. When the thought comes, that is when the battle starts. It is now time for you to either accept it or reject it. If you accept it, it will stay and achieve its purpose. If you reject it, hallelujah. And that is what the Holy Ghost is given for. It gives you the power to resist evil. It gives you the power to kick Satan back to sender. Hallelujah. Thoughts. And these thoughts, these thoughts that you see come, they don't only come spiritually like that, by inspiration like that. We call inspiration because Satan too inspires. It also comes using your five senses. Your eye, when you see, then it will send a message to your heart. Amen. So, watch what you see. Amen. Another one is your ear. When you hear, then it will, the work will start. We send message to your heart. Because it's not just hearing that he's interested. He wants you to act. But before acting, he will first and foremost speak for you to hear, then your heart will receive. Because that is the same way God works. The church shall live by faith. But faith cometh by hearing. When you hear the word, and it's by the word of God. If you hear, you live by the word of God. Hallelujah. When you hear, you live by the word of God. Then you will live a life that is pleasing before God. But if all you feed to your soul, feed for your mind, feed to your spirit, is these worldly things, then you continue to live a carnal life. Because you are dictated by the abundance of what you have kept in the heart. Including smell. You will smell the thing. Hallelujah. And then touch. Including touch. There are the five senses that also are gateways for the heart to be dealt with. So it is not a sin. It is not sin that you turn your eye and you see a naked woman, brother. It is not sin. But seeing a naked woman is a message sent through your eyes, and it is targeting your heart. Amen. So what do you do? Hallelujah. When you see it, what you have to do is to rebuke it. I rebuke you, Satan. I'm a Christian. I will not lust with my eye. I sanctify this eye with the blood of Jesus. Satan, get out. You won't get me. And you know what? It is also an exercise. The more you do that, the less that attack comes. The more you have power also over it. But you sit down there, naked woman stand there, pass. Then you come and say, you come and look. Then you come and say, see this useless girl. See how she opened her breast. See. Hey, this woman. In the follow with her eye. This woman. He don't get you. He has got to you. You are romancing with the devil. What's your business? Looking and looking and looking and looking and looking. Looking and looking and looking. Look what? William Branham said this is how he overcome his own. He said he hung the crucifix in his car. He says, he said when he's driving his car, he's going in America, he sees these naked people. And he said he will take his eye away and look at the cross. And when he sees the cross, a song will come out. In the cross, be my glory. In my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the river. Everybody must have your defense mechanism put on. Machinery put on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Use it. They call it besetting sin. Whatever it is you want to do, that you know, you want to move forward, it will draw you back. Those secret sins, when you finish committing, you'll be regretting it. Let me tell you, they don't just come like that. They always start with a thought. And so your prayer is, Lord, send your fire and cleanse my heart. And give me the power to resist the devil. And therefore, if you understand what I am saying, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says so. For it is God
which walketh in you.
Have you ever considered that scripture? Let's meditate on it. For it is God, Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, which walketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Where does he do this work? It's in your heart. It's in your heart. When you can allow him to take over. When you can allow him to take over. You are either yoked to the world or you are yoked to Christ. And you yoked to him by his word. That's what he says in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, I like the way there's a way Christ put there. From verse, let me read it from verse 1. I am the true vine. This is the picture he's giving for us to understand. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does he do? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit. If you are bearing fruit, you see how God works. What does he do? He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Then he told his disciples, now you are clean. Clean through what? What is it that cleaned them up? He said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Because the power that cleanses, hallelujah, is the word of God. You want to remain holy, I want to beg you, please, don't bother yourself going to do dry fasting. I'm going to a mountain, I'm going to a camp. If you are only those who are already clean and holy, have a relationship, should go to the camp to pray. For any other thing. Go. Clean up yourself. When you discover that you are always committing sin. When you discover that you have a besetting sin. When you discover that you have a weakness. What you should do is go and clean up yourself by the word. Because it is because you are empty of God's word. That is why you act like that. It is because you are empty. You are empty of God's word. That is why you act like that. Before I continue, I will read the next verse to confirm what I'm saying. Psalm 119. Open it. Verse 11. In fact, verse 9 first. Psalm 119, verse 9. Are we there? I want everybody to see it. Wherewith that shall a young man cleanse his ways? By going to the mountain. By doing dry fasting. What will you cleanse your way? By doing what? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Verse 11. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The solution to stop committing sin is store the word of God in you. It will bounce back every carnality. It will bounce back every error. Every arrow of evil thought. If thou be a son of God, command that these stones should be turned to bread. Are you not hungry? What did Jesus use? Eh? It is. Man shall not live by bread alone. That is what you will use to resist him. A man is, young man is enticing you, seducing you to sleep with you. A woman is seducing you to sleep with you. If you have the scripture that says, that I am the temple. Now you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
If any man defile my temple, him will God destroy.
Hey! You will zip up.
You will zip up. Because the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It will pierce your heart immediately. You will repent and then you will draw back. What you need in you is the word. And when we say the word, you are busy. The word is no water baptism in Jesus' name. The word is not serpent seed doctrine. The word is not mystery. Not mystery. Mystery. I have seen enter messy believers full of head knowledge of mysteries. But the simple process of walking in love with one another, they lack it. Come and see pride among them. Come and see hatred and unforgiveness among them. I have been among them. Because they have spent more time feeding their soul with doctrines and things that even have no salvation virtue. And our daily walk that portrays and gives God the ability to express himself by the fruit of the Spirit, we know nothing about it. And so, the type of Christianity we have, you don't even know who is your brother. You don't even know who is your sister. You cannot define who is a Christian brother, who is a Christian sister. You don't even know what it does when you see a fellow believer in need and you can help and you refuse to help. Nothing like that. And because you are so full of yourself, you cannot even see God where he is because you are too high. And our God that comes in simplicity comes and passes over you. You are too high to see him passing under you and going. Because you don't know him. If you know God, you will know that he can talk to you through anything, including a madman on the street. Talk to you. When you think you are something, you are the general overseer, you are the overseer, you are the pastor, senior pastor, you've forgotten that somebody that comes to me for counseling, as I am sharing with you, I am learning something that will help me in my Christian life. Who come and say, what do you know? What do you know? What do you know? What do you know? Will Abraham say, I didn't go to school. I may not know how to read and write. I may not know how to read this Bible, but it is enough for me that I know the God of this Bible. I'm satisfied. It's enough that he knows the God of this Bible. But I don't know how to read, though, but I know that God. What does it profit you that you can read and you don't know him? Because reading is to make you know him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.